Grace and peace to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and God our Father and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have some confessions to make while I'm up here. This is what I'm going to start off with. Hopefully this, you'll see the connection. I do have an alarm clock, and I set it multiple times because the first one doesn't wake me up usually, or I'll hit the snooze button and it'll take me a while. A few times I've slept in, not so great. I've missed alarms completely. But when we're talking about this verse or this gospel and the master of the house who went out looking for workers, what he did is he went out and grabbed pretty much who was out there and said, "Hey, would you like to work for me?" And they came. Now, the first group is a little bit interesting. We'll get to back to the first group. But the second, third, fourth groups, all the way up to the 11th hour, they're all like, "Hey, I'll pay you the wages. I'll pay you fair wages." And they're like, "Okay, I'll go." But something that's awesome is the Holy Spirit pulls us out of our darkness, our death, and brings us into His light as Christ shows us our payment and takes us into His vineyard. Another confession I have to make is we have an on-ramp where we live, and they're working on it, and it goes down to one lane. And so I'm always in the proper lane because the lane on the right is supposed to turn onto the freeway and the lane that's on the left is supposed to go across the freeway. And what happens is I'll get in that left-hand lane as I'm supposed to and wait in line. And then there's cars that'll just go right up to where the on-ramp is and then pull in. And I get mad. I feel like I should go before them. That's the mentality I have. Like, I did what was right. I should go first. And by what I was doing, following the rules, why should they go before me? And then I saw this gospel. And what do you deserve? As a Christian, what do you deserve? What is it that you deserve being a Christian? Do you get anything for doing good works? Is that what we're based on? So when we hear the whole gospel and we hear about these workers that got hired in the beginning, what was wrong with their mentality? Who did they focus on? But themselves. What they did. Now, my dad taught me this, and I'm trying to teach my sons this too, that the world is not fair. And I'm still learning that lesson. But if we wanted fairness, if I wanted justification for those people that cut in front of me, how do you hold up against God, to God's law? How do you stand in the light of the commandments? I know I don't. And if the world was fair, hell would be your dwelling place. You would get what you deserve. But it's not fair. And what's awesome about that is because the world is not fair. Christ, who being the unblemished lamb, the one who was perfect, who deserved no punishment, who deserved not dying, went to the cross in our place. Is that fair for him? No. And what a great joy it is that it's not fair for us, that we receive all those blessings at no cost to us. We had no payment in that. So when I was reading this parable, it also reminded me of the parable of the wedding feast. And I'm going to read that real quick just to refresh your memory. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those, murdered, and burned their city. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, into the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. So first off, we see what happens to those that were invited and refuse the invitation. Then we see the invitations go out to who? Everybody. Did they deserve an invitation? No. They just went passing out invitations. And along with the invitations, they usually, what they would get is a wedding garment so that they could come in and they would fit in. So it wasn't like, so when we hear about the guy that didn't have a wedding garment, he's like, kind of shoving in the face of the person that invited him, like, I really don't care what you have to say. I'm just going to be who I am. And what happened to him? Got kicked out. So the question is, did those workers deserve to be hired? Did they offer, did they bring anything to the table, or did the master of the house go out in search of workers? He did. So Christ is taking care of these workers. And what did they have to do? What did the workers have to do? But just tend the vineyard, right? Now, let's think about that. Did the workers have to go and find more workers? Who was doing that? But the master of the house. What were the workers called to do? But tend the vineyard. Who is the vine? Who are the branches? And what is the fruit that gets born? Hopefully, Jesus comes to mind as the true vine. And who are the branches? But the church, right? And the fruit of the Spirit is born. And I'm not going to be able to name them all off the top of my head, but love, peace, patience, joy, long-suffering, hope. I know I'm missing some. But what does this mean? What does Christ say about being a Christian? Those that have received his grace, they are to tend the vineyard? What does that mean but to trust in the vine, to make sure that they care for each other? Now, one of the questions is, that I also have, is if you're a worker at the end of the day, do you think you deserve more because you face trials and tribulations or hardships? Is that something that we think as Christians? Do you grumble and lament when someone comes into the body of Christ? Maybe at the last minute, oh, they got to live like they didn't have any care in the world and now they're a Christian? Well, that's not really fair. Well, that's not your call. Sometimes we even grumble when we see one Christian having it well, and you're like, well, I'm facing all these hardships. Why can't my life be more like theirs? Why can't I have it easier? What did we hear in our epistle reading today? Being a Christian is not easy. Being a Christian means bearing a cross. Being a Christian means you will be facing suffering, as Paul did. And as he says to the Philippians, that they will too. And you too will face suffering in this life. because this is a fallen world and it's not fair. But instead of focusing on what we should do, we should be focusing on who has done this great deed for us, and that's Christ. Because I love Psalm 84. It says, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked, of wickedness." So again, I want to remind you, the master of the house, the kingdom of heaven, who we get through Christ, actively seeks. And how do we know that? What happens wherever his word goes out? It does not return void. Where do we also hear about how he actively seeks? Parable of the sower. What does he do with the seed? But he spreads it. Does he do it really carefully? Or is he spreading it all over the place? We hear it in the lost coin. We hear it with the lost sheep. We hear it with the prodigal son. He looks for his people. He searches them. We also hear it from the story of Rahab, who was not a chosen, not part of the chosen people of God. We hear it with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Christ is not just for a select few, but for everyone. This is also interesting. From this gospel, we hear that Christ takes those who no one wants. What happened with at the 11th hour? What they were saying, the people that was standing out idle, no one's hired us. But what did the master of the house do? Even in the 11th hour, before the close of the day, he takes them in so that they have a place in the vineyard. Again, why did Christ come? Because his death was for the unrighteous. Luke 5 says, this is the Pharisees, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And what else do we hear from this gospel but Christ's generosity? How is Christ generous? He pours upon you grace upon grace. His forgiveness is unending. I continually break those laws. I continually do not follow the commandments. Yet what does he do? He forgives me every time. He continually rains down, not only with forgiveness and grace, but he continually blesses you in your life. And we hear that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So, with an ending there on that, they see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What is your denarius? The working is not for the denarius. The denarius is given freely by the master. And what's interesting in the reading, and I don't know if you saw that, but in the gospel reading, it says in verse 2, after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, what do you think happened there? But it sounds like the workers were like, "I don't know if I want to work for you. What are you going to offer me? Will you pay us a denarius a day?" And he's like, "Okay, I'll agree to give you a denarius a day." And so it sounded in that verse, it sounds like a little bit of haggling was going on by the workers. Like, "Well, I'll do it, but with these circumstances." And so Is that, was that the true for the last workers? Or the last workers was like, hey, you're going to hire me, great. I'll take whatever you're going to give me. That's fine. That denarius, if we think about it, is grace. And it's only through Christ's death and resurrection that you can enter his vineyard. It's, he made the payment for you. He made that promise to the people of Israel that the Messiah was coming. And what did they do? What did those wedding, what did those wedding guests that got the invitation for the first part do, but not go, but reject the gift, but look at their own deeds instead? And who did it get opened up to? But everybody. Is that not what Christ did for everybody in his death and resurrection? His death opened the Holy of Holies for all people of all time. So why do you work? Why do we do good works? It's definitely not to earn more. The work you do is out of thankfulness for what he has done for you. That's what I heard in the beginning is, but what do we say? What do we respond with? Thankfulness. We sing. We give sacrifices of thanksgiving because we have nothing to offer but that. In the vineyard, like I said before, we hear what happens is that you will be working in his vineyard. And where is that vineyard? But in here. Here, you are in the vineyard. And what are you hearing right now? But his word. His word is heard here in the church. His body and blood is given to you. His forgiveness is given to you. He gives you his grace and his mercy. And he teaches you about his generosity toward you through Christ and the blessings he continually rains down on you here and in his word. This is tending the vineyard, is being in church, hearing his word, trusting in Christ. Now, like I said, we had a couple of those workers. What happened? But they said they thought they were going to get paid more because what did they do? They were out in the hot. They bore the burden of the day and the scorching heat. And like I said before in the epistle reading, you will face suffering. But what is that suffering for? But for his glory. The trials and tribulations you face, the troubles you face. I know I've said it more times, Lord, you can take me now. It would be easier if I was in heaven with you, just like Paul was saying to the Philippians. But he has me here for a reason. He has you here for a reason. And the comfort to know that you are doing his will, whether you know it or not, is what you can trust in. And in doing so, you're tending to the vineyard because you're trusting in God because he has and will continue to do what is best for you, especially by giving you his son. So the parable ends with, so the last will be first and the first will and the first last. And we can look at this way as in two ways. One is an admonition. Like those workers that grumbled about what they were getting paid, or the wedding guests, what happened to them that didn't want to go? Or the guy that didn't have his garment on, they got killed, they got thrown out where the weeping and gnashing of teeth happened. And that's because they put themselves first, and in so doing, made themselves last. But the second way we can look at this is who made himself last for all of us but Christ, who faced the wrath of God for all sin, lowered himself so that he would face our punishment and face all temptation and do it without breaking, with remaining obedient and faithful to the Father the whole way through. He died so that you could be first, so that you could have the inheritance that you cannot earn on your own. So what a blessing it is, O sinner, that you are made first because of what Christ has done. O sinner, rejoice because Christ, who is first, has made himself last. He came to serve you. He continues to serve you. He came to give his life for you. He came so that you would be forgiven and declared righteous in heaven. Amen.